What if the place where you enjoyed countless meals was built on human suffering? David Batstone faced this exact revelation when federal agents raided his beloved Berkeley Indian restaurant, discovering that the owner had trafficked hundreds of workers from India. These people worked grueling hours for pennies. Their wages immediately returned as inflated rent to their captor. This wasn't happening in some distant corner of the world. It was unfolding in a progressive California college town, hidden behind the warm glow of familiar storefronts. That moment shattered Batstone's comfortable assumptions and launched him on a journey across continents to document a horrifying truth. More people live in slavery today than at any point in human history. Over 30 million souls exist in bondage right now, generating $150 billion annually for their exploiters. Unlike historical slavery, where humans represented valuable investments, modern slaves are considered disposable, easily replaced when they break down or resist. This invisibility makes contemporary slavery particularly insidious, operating through legitimate-seeming businesses, private homes, and global supply chains that touch nearly everything we consume. Modern slavery operates on a brutal equation. Desperate people plus profit-hungry exploiters equals endless suffering. A single victim generates $13,000 to $67,000 annually for their captor. And unlike drugs or weapons, a human being can be exploited repeatedly, day after day, year after year. These operations span continents with corporate-level sophistication. Criminal networks coordinate recruitment in impoverished villages, arrange cross-border transportation, forge documentation, and place victims in factories, brothels, farms, and homes. They exploit globalization's benefits – easy travel, electronic banking, instant communication – while capitalizing on its failures – wealth inequality, migration crises, and weak governance. What makes this economy particularly devastating is its invisibility. That shirt might contain cotton picked by enslaved hands in Uzbekistan. Your chocolate? Possibly harvested by trafficked children in West Africa. Your smartphone? Built with minerals extracted by bonded laborers in Congo. We unknowingly participate in the system, our purchases funding an industry that treats human beings as renewable resources. 9-year-old Chan watched his mother accept $20 from a garlic factory owner, the price for her son. His sister fetched the same amount. For months, they peeled garlic from dawn until darkness, unpaid except for meager meals, beaten when they failed to meet quotas. Chan eventually escaped by jumping from a second-story window, abandoning his sister to continued torment. Approximately 5.5 million children worldwide endure this nightmare, robbed of education, health, and childhood itself. Thailand has become a trafficking hub where four forces converge: rapid industrialization displacing subsistence farmers, crushing poverty, armed conflicts creating chaos, and explosive population growth in resource-poor regions. When over half the population is under 15 and families can barely feed themselves, children become tragic economic calculations. Child sex trafficking represents an even darker dimension. Wealthy clients across Asia drive demand for virgins, believing sex with them brings business luck and reduces STD risk. Some parents accept regular payments years in advance, essentially selling their daughter's future virginity. Despite media focus on foreign sex tourists, local demand far exceeds it. Studies show 40-50% of Thai and Cambodian men annually pay for commercial sex. Abolitionists like Khru Nam, a university-educated painter turned rescuer, literally walk into sex bars to lead children to safety, establishing drop-in centers, providing meals, education, and pathways to recovery. Narayan's sister Maya accepted a $650 advance for brick kiln work from Mr. Vasu, only to discover their debt had mysteriously doubled after months of brutal labor. When questioned, Mr. Vasu showed meaningless numbers on paper they couldn't read. The family fled, but he captured and tortured Narayan and other male relatives until the escapees returned. This mechanism, bonded labor, enslaves an estimated 8 million people globally. Victims borrow money for emergencies, pledging their labor as collateral. Through manipulated interest and falsified accounting, the debt grows despite endless work. Children inherit their parents' debt, creating intergenerational slavery, where great-grandchildren labor to repay loans taken before they were born. What makes bonded labor particularly insidious is its veneer of legitimacy. Slaveholders present themselves as benevolent creditors, maintaining elaborate records while enjoying protection from local authorities. Organizations like International Justice Mission combine legal intervention with comprehensive aftercare, immediate needs like shelter and medical care, debt cancellation, and long-term support, including education and vocational training. The results? 94% of former slaves in their programs never return to bondage, demonstrating that even multi-generational enslavement can be permanently broken. Joseph Kony's Lord's Resistance Army has forcibly recruited an estimated 66,000 miners over two decades. 10-year-old Charles and 9-year-old Margaret were abducted during routine activities. Children constitute 90% of LRA forces, systematically indoctrinated through forced participation in horrific violence. As one commander told new recruits, "Return to your village is no longer possible." Young girls face additional exploitation beyond combat. Margaret's military training ended when she became a wife to a 20-year-old commander, enduring 6 years of sexual violence and forced pregnancy. Kony maintains psychological control through ceremonial rituals, using traditional materials like shea nut oil, claiming supernatural protection that ceases if recruits contemplate leaving. Challenges persist after rescue. World Vision operates rehabilitation facilities providing medical care and therapeutic programs. Florence LaCour, whose own family suffered at LRA hands, conducts healing ceremonies where youth gather around their former possessions, guns, uniforms, military equipment. Through symbolic ritual, children acknowledge their past while being reminded of their power to choose differently, ceremonially destroying these items to reclaim their stolen childhoods. San Foca, a picturesque Italian fishing village, marks one endpoint of the sex slave trade's busiest route. The Balkan Trail smuggles thousands of Eastern European women annually through Romania, Serbia, Montenegro, or Croatia, then Albania into Italy and beyond. Nadia's story reveals the deception. Unable to afford her son's school fees, she accepted an acquaintance's offer of restaurant work in Italy. After surrendering her passport for safekeeping, she watched it sold. Her journey became a nightmare, crossing borders illegally, being inspected like livestock, ultimately forced into prostitution at knife point. Sex trafficking exploits globalization's worst aspects while utilizing its best tools. Criminal networks use sophisticated communication and relaxed banking laws to operate seamlessly across borders. A Chicago club owner can mail order women from Eastern Europe within weeks. The Soviet Union's 1991 collapse created ideal trafficking conditions. Former Soviet republics experienced massive capital flight, unemployment reaching 70 to 80% for women, and collapsing social services. Organized crime, often led by former communist officials, discovered that educated, healthy young women, suddenly destitute, represented pure profit. Padre Cesare Lodicerto established Regina Pace's shelter in San Foca in 1995. His shelter resembles a high-security prison, necessary as traffickers attempt to reclaim their property. Despite death threats, he continues, declaring, "There's nothing these men can do to me that could compare to the suffering that trafficked girls undergo." In 2007, the Not For Sale campaign pioneered open-source activism, empowering abolitionists to create community solutions. University students tracking suspicious San Francisco businesses sparked multiple platforms: Slavery Map, documenting over 1,500 cases, Free to Work, rating company labor practices, and the Justice League, connecting law enforcement with community investigators. Ending modern slavery requires action across multiple fronts. Address economic vulnerability through microenterprise, education, and vocational training. Strengthen legal enforcement. While most countries have anti-trafficking laws, implementation remains weak. Provide comprehensive aftercare for survivors. Recognizing freedom requires healing and economic opportunity. Address demand by targeting Johns, consumers buying slave-made products, and exploitative businesses. Your everyday purchases connect you to slavery. Becoming a conscious consumer and demanding corporate transparency breaks these chains. The movement needs lawyers prosecuting predators, entrepreneurs creating opportunities, healthcare workers healing trauma, and everyday people contributing resources. Over 30 million people live enslaved today. Every purchase, voice raised, and action taken helps end humanity's oldest crime. The question isn't whether slavery can end, it's whether you'll join those working to end it.